from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. So, Ursula, here's what I want to tell you before we get this hour started. I've noticed today that a lot of people, including scenarios, have just been on the G's wrong today bandwagon, right? Now, usually when people are like, gee, you're wrong, and usually I look at that and I say, you know, maybe I should rethink this or, well, let me see. But today, I'm drawing a line in the sand.
They say you're wrong about scenarios.
Yeah.
So if you missed our scenarios, you don't want to miss it. In fact, if you want to guarantee that you listen to it every single day. And you can, exactly, our podcast. Check out our podcast anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Yeah. If you're going on a long trip next weekend.
Yes.
Someplace to enjoy the sunny weather that we're going to have.
You think I've been wrong today?
No, not necessarily.
So
if you're speaking from the heart, if you're being honest, no.
So that means, you know what? I appreciate you.
You might have other people who disagree with you.
No. Here's what I love about you. You say that I haven't been wrong today. So if I haven't been wrong, that means you have been.
We could always both be wrong.
All right. Agree to disagree. Brought to you by Garden Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Just want to let everybody know that G identifies as correct.
I also want everyone to know that this is the segment that always makes me the most nervous, and especially today, because there are going to be questions that we are asked that we are hearing for the first time.
Yes.
Keep that in mind.
No,
all right. Let's get spicy.
Okay.
What would you do if you found $25,000 in a bathroom? That actually happened last Saturday. An employee at the Avalon Theater in Marysville, Ohio, found $25,000 hidden in a bathroom after noticing someone acting suspiciously the night before. Then, later in the week, an employee of the local KFC called police after finding $12,000 in their bathroom. Police believe the money was left there intentionally, but so far no one's come forward to claim it, and they don't have any leads, G.
Yes.
So to continue the theme of when is it okay to keep the cash,
How
you rolling on this one?
I'm going to turn it in today. If I find $12,000 in the bathroom, if I find $2,500, if I find
$25,000,
if I find $1,000, if I find $500, I'm going to turn it in.
Where do you turn it in?
Well,
if it's
a public place, right? Let's say if it's a public restroom, and it's in a McDonald's or a Burger King or an establishment, a KFC, I'm going to go to the manager and say, hey, just want to let you know that money was found in your restroom. I like to, you know, get that signed, give me your name, all that stuff. I am going to turn the money in today. Now, I could easily just be done and just throw it to you. I just want to say this, and I'm being really serious when I say There's been a lot of times in my life where I was seriously praying about
someone dropping a wad of cash somewhere.
Just praying. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you just like, ooh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. Or I don't know how I'm going to pay that. And then you walk into a Burger King bathroom and there's $12,000 in cash sitting there for you.
And thank you, Lord.
And you look up at the sky and say, and then you turn it in. And then when you go to the pearly gates one day and you're like, Lord, where was you at? And they're like, oh, the Burger King bathroom.
No, I think if you're at that point at the pearly gates, they would say, you were tested, young man, and you did the right thing by turning it in.
Now, what reward
because
do I get?
In fact,
now, at the pearly gates?
You know what? Peace? Resting in peace? Okay, wait. Let's go back to, do you know that most states, and in fact, I was trying to find in the state of Washington.
You're doing
what the deal
research
is.
While G's answering. Come on.
No. But the cash that you find, especially when you're talking about large amounts like that, but even I would say anything above $1,000. Like, most states have laws that actually say you do need to turn it in. Because even though you found it, it's not legally yours. And so you turn it in, and if they don't find the rightful owner, if someone doesn't come in and say, I have $12,000. Now, it could be a drug deal, and maybe a drug dealer is not going to be looking for that money or turning themselves in.
Why are you blaming a drug dealer? Why are you going right to the drug dealer?
I said it could be.
Oh, yeah.
No, that is the only thing it could be.
What's the likelihood of someone just stashing away, acting suspiciously and stashing away $12,000?
Getting ready to leave their husband?
Right.
And putting it in the KFC? No, that's not where you're putting it. I would start with a bra first.
Okay.
Okay, wait. But after 6 weeks, I think after a certain amount of time, it could end up being yours. Mm. If it is not,
what if I do it
found? If it's not claimed, now I don't know how often that happens, but
what if we do what a nonprofit would do? Mm. You find the money, and as you get ready to turn it in, there's a service fee, and there's expenses along with, and then you keep a certain amount, and then you give the rest there.
That's not ethical.
Okay, I'm just asking. I don't think it's ethical either.
It's not ethical. Yeah.
Are you sure there was actually 12 grand they found in the bathroom and not 25?
No.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's a good point, too. And again, someone I love dearly told me that he or she, this when they were young, found a wallet on a Metro bus. And he or she told me that they turned it in to the bus driver, and the bus driver was really thankful. What he or she told me later, though, is that $10 was kept. And I was like, dude, there was a lesson to be learned there. It's like,
did you judge them? Doing the right thing.
Yes. Doing the right thing is turning in the wallet with all the money, not self-rewarding. Okay.
These are not analogous situations, though, right?
Well, it's the same principle.
No, it's not, because that's not your money. This is not somebody's rent money. This is not.
Incorrect.
$25,000 left in a bathroom is a dead drop. That's a dead drop for a drug deal. So, guaranteed, it's drug money.
So keep the drug money. Oh, geez.
What? If a drug dealer loses some money and I find it, how is there anything unethical about me keeping that?
Whoa. Now that's
because you're making an assumption, first of all. And then secondly, if the drug dealer doesn't come forward and claim
yeah, that's my drug money. I'd like it.
Yeah, if that doesn't happen, then maybe you do rightfully get the money. Here's the other thing. Do you remember our listener, Dan in Bellevue? I'm about to cry because he was Dan Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote my dad during the pandemic.
Yes.
And during the pandemic, did not know my dad and knew my dad was in a assisted living center and wrote him a letter, sometimes two letters a week. And then he would also write me and it brought him joy, brought my father joy. Well, remember we had Dan on the show. He had seen someone's wallet in the middle of the road and people were driving over it and bills were flying.
Yeah.
And Dan collected the money, looked at the wallet and found the rightful owner.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember we had that owner come on? The owner of that wallet came on and said, that was my rent money.
Mm-hmm.
Dan had turned it in, all the bills. Dan collected all the bills, found the rightful owner, and it was that person's. I mean, that guy was in tears.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to be Dan.
Yeah.
I guess that would be
I just want to say
my
that was such
that
a
one.
Like you look so self-satisfied at me right now, like, young man, you need to learn a lesson or two about ethics.
No, you know what, Ursula?
Wait, if I lose my wallet, I know someone.
It's
who
not
might
a
not
wallet,
be...
it's I'm, drug money, guaranteed.
I'm glad that you're able to do that, because what you just did right there is further proof is that the kindness and the things that you do on earth while you're here will live on after you're gone.
Yes.
And unfortunately,
he passed.
Dan Kirk passed away. And so to even bring that up was really cool.
All right, moving on here. This February, the Bellevue Art Museum put out a red alert call to raise funds after finding itself in a big financial hole because of the pandemic. People pitched in $349,000, according to the Seattle Times. Mm-hmm. And the Times reports this morning that the Bellevue Art Museum is asking again, saying they need $650,000 to keep the doors open this year and $1.5 million to end the year with a healthy financial portfolio. Double-edged question here, Ursula. You want me to go to G on this?
Yes, please do.
Okay.
Please do.
First of all, people still go to museums. And second, does Bellevue have culture? Because I thought like a philanthropic organization would be thriving in Bellevue.
Yes, Bellevue's got more culture than Edmonds.
Ooh, throw down.
Not even close. Not even close.
Okay, y'all, how do you define culture? What's culture?
You got to have some graffiti in your city. That's one. No graffiti, no culture.
Hold on. Again, I don't know. Whatever you're going to look up, whatever statistics you're going to look up, you're probably going to look up the homeowners and who own. All I know is this. When I'm in Bellevue, I see an awful lot of diversity. And it's a beautiful thing. But back to the museums, I'm all for museums, baby. I grew up in Chicago. I grew up going to the Museum of Science and Industry.
When was the last time you went to a museum?
You know what, Ursula? You know what? Hey, hold on. You had that waiting. You know,
I'm not the biggest museum fan, but I think I've been to one more recently than you.
Wait a minute. Okay. The last museum I was at was in 2021 in Cincinnati.
Ah, okay.
That was the last time I was at a museum. Yeah. I love museums. No, I don't go as often as I used to. And just this morning, my buddy is heading to Washington, D.C. And I just said to him this morning, man, I do want to get to the African American Museum out there. So,
does Bellevue have culture, though? That was a throwdown question from Chef.
He just said more than Edmonds.
No. I would argue, by the way, I love y'all in Edmonds. That was not a shot at you.
I love Edmonds.
But I would argue that Bellevue, right now, when you go to Bellevue, there's more diversity there than a lot of cities in this area. It's very diverse out there. No, I'm being dead serious.
So for you, culture means diversity. Means, I know you said restaurants.
Yeah.
Means, so it should be like the way of life for an entire society, like how you dress, your language, religion, rituals, art. That's the common definition of culture. But you're kind of thinking more like, hey, you've got good restaurants, you've got good.
Do you have a scene?
Art scene, you have a good music scene. Bellevue has culture for sure.
Bellevue's got for real. They got culture.
Bellevue has places you can dress up, which is
Thank you. And by the way, some of you, because I'm afraid, because we got a lot of listeners in Edmonds. Look, Edmonds, I love Edmonds. Y'all. It was not a shot at you.
If
okay?
I'm not living in Seattle, I'm living in Edmonds.
Okay, that's fair. But I just no disrespect. Bellevue has more diversity than Edmonds, okay?
Based on what?
I don't want to get into it.
You might not be wrong about that. We don't have as many H-2-1B visas in Edmonds. I think the culture of Bellevue, if you like $26 cocktails and no building that was built before 2004 and the color beige, Bellevue is for you. It's a great spot.
Oh, Brian, who lives in Bellevue, says, I'm always one to defend Bellevue, but I'm sorry. There's no culture associated with this.
Disagree.
Okay, Bellevue, text us if you disagree. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line 888-973-5476.
Have you ever heard the phrase?
888-973-CHIRO.
Sorry.
Go
ahead. You ever heard the phrase, it's a Bellevue kind of day? I don't think I have. Have you ever heard the phrase, it's an Edmonds kind of day? Beautiful water views.
Oh.
Edmonds is gorgeous. Great
art
scene.
It's a Chamber of Commerce kind of day.
When I go to Edmonds, I'm going to see Chef. I'm going to see Nick.
No, you're going to see.
I'm going to see Sam. I'm going to see Spike.
Brand new pickleball courts.
But when I go to Bellevue, I'm going to see Ursula. I'm going to see G. I'm going to see James Lynch.
No, you'll see me in Edmonds. Oh. My sister Honey lives in Edmonds. She looks like me.
All right,
Ursula. Come on, kids. Let's grab drinks.
Yeah.
That's the New York Times headline this morning. And no, it's not a story about little kids running wild in breweries. It's about the rise of mocktail culture and the kids who love them. So the Times writes about the increase in kids who go to fancy restaurants and order these complicated mocktails. It kind of takes some of the bartenders and employees aback when they have a little kid ordering a drink that is just sans alcohol meant for adults, and they question whether it's basically training kids to drink alcohol in cocktails. Ursula, what do you think about that?
I think it's a stretch to say that you're grooming kids to become alcoholics or to love alcoholic drinks, because I grew up drinking Shirley Temples. I grew up, and then as soon as they started doing the mocktails, I love that. I hate the taste of alcohol. Drinking those drinks that are frou-frou drinks, if you're willing to pay that huge price tag that goes along with them, I don't think it's you're in danger of making someone want to drink the alcoholic version any more than any other drink. I think now, in different cultures, young people start drinking wine at a very young age. That's a whole nother story. But I think it's just a stretch, personally.
I'm with you. I think it's a stretch, too. If somebody wants, especially all you all that drink your Arnold Palmers, right? Shirley Temples and all those things. Look, we are a culture that celebrates alcohol. It is what it is. It's everywhere. It's all over the TVs. So if you think little Johnny and little Sarah, they see you have your girls'
Pina
night
colada
at the house.
Virgin style.
Yeah. So they want to be just like you, like their parents. And by the way,
wait,
I don't know.
So you think it is making it more accessible?
No. I think that's a bit of a stretch. No different than when I was younger. The cigarette candy that I used to pretend like I would be smoking.
Yeah. Do you smoke today?
No.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, I thought it was weird when kids growing up, they'd go out and they'd order virgin margaritas with their parents. And I'm like, what are you, virgin margarita?
Mm.
Like, there's no way my parents would.
That's Ursula's go-to.
Not to mention, like, why are you buying a $12 drink for a kid?
It's Ursula. Ursula bought it.
Yeah, I just don't like the price tag that went along with it. But I had no problem getting it. It's basically fruit juice.
Hey, Ursula.
Slushy.
I got one for you.
Uh-huh.
Wesley in Post Falls says, why are you so confrontational today, G? Wowzers. You're on one. Poor Ursula and Chef. So of the three of us, I'm the one that's confrontational.
Someone said I'm shooting my shots today.
I'll let that simmer there. I'm the one that's confrontational. All right. Ursula, coming up at 11:30.
Our favorite topic.
What's that?
TBD.
Oh, it's not take five?
No.
Okay. Yep, TBD. We don't know what we're doing. We've been prepared.
What we're going to do is we're going to look at all our choices, and we're going to come up with the best topic for you coming up at 11:30.
Yeah. And somebody said Arnold Palmer is not a mocktail. It's lemonade and iced tea. Yeah, you can put something in it, though, too. Coming up next, Gina.
G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you, and thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Monday morning. I want to emphasize Monday because I'm looking outside and I feel like it's a fresh Friday. Mm. And maybe it's just because it's sunny. Text us on our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. A bunch of you have been. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. And right now we're going to talk about doing work while on vacation, and then also remote workers who are doing their jobs on vacation and not telling their bosses. So there's a phrase now, it's called hush workcation. Is that the new vacation trend? So nearly a third of all Americans in this survey, and this is 2,000 employed Americans, and this is between travelers and hotel workers, important to note, they say that 52% of them who were surveyed would use their vacation travels as a chance to work remotely. 29% have done so without notifying anyone at work. First of all, does that surprise you?
Nope. Keep going.
Okay. So nearly 4 in 10, or about close to 40%, say that is because they love doing what they do for work and why not continue while on vacation. Others say they work on vacation because they have deadlines that they need to meet and maybe they can't do it while or they have to do it while on vacation because they overlap. But then here was an interesting thing. 28% say they do it to save on their paid time off. And then also some other things. Nearly half say they have extended their work trips into vacations at their destinations. And I guess my question is there anything wrong with this?
Yes.
Do you have to tell your bosses when you are on vacation or you're at some destination when you are still scheduled to work? But you're still working. You're just in some exotic place.
I'm so glad that this has come up because I had a discussion with you and Chef about 2 weeks ago. And I said, the next time that we talk about this topic, I'm going to tell you about a discussion that I had with a friend of mine on how that it is unfair for the people that, air quotes, work from home to the people that don't get to work from home. Mm-hmm. And here's what's unfair about it. PTO. What happens is people that work from home don't have to dip into their PTO the same way someone that goes to work every day has to dip into theirs. And you and I have been having this conversation so long, and I never thought about it until a friend of mine told me about he and others how they never dip into their PTO because they work from home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you work from home, what is to stop you from leaving on Thursday night to your destination?
Yes.
Getting there, working Friday morning from your vacation destination, finishing up your work, boom. You don't miss a travel day. You're fine. You're good to go. It's unfair for Roscoe that works... Right? Roscoe works at the job, Ursula, and he has to spend a day to go. It's totally unfair.
Some people would argue, hey, I'm still working. I'm still clocking in on Friday, even though now I'm in my cabin at Lake Chelan instead of my home in Bellevue. Now, I think that is a good argument, but where I think the argument falls short is if you've got your vacation home in Lake Chelan and your job does not require you to check in. And on Thursday, your boss is assuming that Friday you're still working from home, but no, you're actually at your vacation home. You're actually doing fun things and hanging out on the lake. And then you just check in on occasion to pretend that you're still working, but you're actually on vacation and you don't have to use that as a paid time off. You don't have to use it as a vacation day because no one can follow up.
That's what I'm saying. Now, do you know?
Is that ethical?
No. Do you know anybody?
That's also a failure of accountability.
And that is one of the big reasons that many managers want people to come back into work.
And that's why they
don't know how to measure results.
They cannot measure if someone is actually working. And if someone is getting paid full time for working 3 or 4 days a week and they've now created this vacation spot for themselves where they just figured out a way to check in.
Let's do this, Ursula. Instead of, because sometimes on our show, we go to the research.
Yes.
And we go to percentages. And,
yes.
And you say close to 4 in 10, all that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you and everyone listening right now, do you know someone, maybe it's you, that, air quotes, works from home, but they have gone on vacation. You've seen them on vacation. You've
yes.
seen them at that get-together.
Not just one, but a number
and
of
people. And they have the computer
up. And they brag about it.
And they bring their... Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm bringing my work laptop? And they got their work laptop.
Yeah, they have their work laptop. And then they can send that occasional email to show...
Thank you!
When you're actually in your vacation cabin. No, yes, I know that in multiple instances. Multiple.
Gee, to be fair... Roscoe is a Dalmatian, and he works at the fire station and cannot work remotely. So I just wanted to point that out.
Gerardo in the 206 says, Ursula's making work sound like a must-serve punishment. No, not at all. No. I love my work. I want to remind you that during the pandemic, I found every reason to come into work. I love being at work. I love being around people. I think we do better when we're around people. So,
it's the same. Like, the reason why I come in every single... I want to come in and not work remote because the show is better. Because then I don't... Because you guys know, Ursula is allergic to not being able to leave that out. Hey, just want to let you know, G's working from home today.
And you know why? Because if there's a lag, if there's like, how come you stepped on each other? It's more difficult. It's more difficult when you don't see someone face to face. And so I try to make sure that people are in the know. I don't want to give the impression that we're both in the same studio.
Can I try
to
make
being fake
two statements that I think we can come to an accord on? A, a lot of people's jobs do not require actually 40 hours of work. And B, the ones that really do, and if they're, quote, not doing work while they're working remote, their bosses are terrible.
Yeah. I agree. I think in many cases it's a management problem.
Can I ask y'all this, though? Has there ever been a time that we've complained about any of our city or county government and things being so slow to happen? What percent of city and county government are 100% back to work? I'm only asking. Do we have any folks working from home? Is there ever a time that we complain about things not getting done?
Yes. The answer is yes. And then Rob, one of our favorite people, the retired Puyallup police officer, says, if the work is getting done, where's the problem? And he says, yes, I know folks who do this. Here's the problem. We talk about... Okay, I'm going to speak about city and county government. We talk about budget deficits. If you're looking to make cuts and you've got people who are able to get their jobs done part-time work and are getting paid full-time, perhaps we're not saving where we need to be saving.
Come on! Come on! We all, but you know how we fix a lot of things?
That would be the same with private businesses as well.
You know how we always fix things? Let's tax the people. We're going to tax the people.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, the mayor of Seattle wants to increase my taxes even more.
Remember when everybody was supposed to go back to work downtown? How's that working? How's that going?
I know. And then here's the most important question. Whatever happened to Roscoe?
I got a homie named Roscoe. Matter of fact, DJ Roscoe. He DJs for the Seahawks.
That's
time.
Oh, no. What happened to Cletus? That's what someone wants to
know. Oh, you know.
He's taking a break.
A lot of times, when I run into some of you guys out in public, you guys come up to me and approach me and says, gee, you used my name last week.
Cletus, I think, is a fair, is safe.
You ready for this one? How about the Mikes of the world? How about Mike? The rest of the week, I'm using Mike. Text messages, feedback, Ursula's word to live by. Next, Gene Ursula. Ursula, everybody. Appreciate all of you for listening to the show. I just want to give major love out there, because I know there's not many of you out there, to the Mikes out there. If you're a Mike, I'll be using your name the rest of the day. Ursula, we'll start off with Andy's Fish House outdoor dining tent that has to go. Mark from Redmond says, regarding the tent issues, no sprinklers, no fire alarm or smoke detectors, no emergency lighting or exit, no ADA compliance. That's just the beginning. A final tent turn into a shrink wrapper if there was a fire with people inside. And then 425 says, Andy's Fish House is in a designated historic district. They are not allowed to have plastic and vinyl structures in the district. Leavenworth and Winthrop would not allow the structure to float their codes. And
Joe says, this is the same city that asked the barbecue place a block north of Andy's to paint clothes onto the three pigs painted on the side of his building because the pigs were naked. Come on.
Look that up, true.
Oh, it's true.
I'm serious.
The original Starbucks in Pike Place was closed because of vandalism, and there's a lot of people showed up and they were disappointed. They wanted to see the original Starbucks. 206 says, agree with Ursula. Of course you do. Couldn't care less about the original Starbucks.
Okay, not that we, I mean, it should never be vandalized, and I feel for Starbucks and that it somehow it always gets targeted.
Yeah.
My point was, is that one of your top tourist attractions if you're going to come visit Seattle? You said yes. I say no.
One more thing I want to say this about us in Seattle. We have a lot of beautiful things here that we don't even go see. So when people come here, these things that we don't go see are really cool.
We are spoiled. And by the way, before you go to the original Starbucks, I suggest taking a ferry. Go take
a
ferry.
The best thing about Seattle is not Seattle. It's the mountains. It's the sound. Yeah, it's the nature.
I would agree with that. Eric in Columbia City says the original Starbucks isn't even the original Starbucks.
Boeing firefighters won a 50% raise. Mike in Skagit County says, I am a retired Boeing firefighter. I had to have the exact same qualifications as the city firefighters around us. Boeing firefighters stops fires before they happen due to 24-hour-a-day fire prevention. They truly work 24 hours a day because the factory and flight line is working 24 hours a day. The company wants the firefighters to take 19 years to top out to the new pay scale. Cities take 5. Over the last 15 years, they have cut our benefits and adjusted our hours and pay, so we are actually going down instead of up in pay. You said Boeing firefighters don't do what the city firefighters do. No, they do not. They do more. Mm. All firefighters do inspections and standby for hazardous operations 24 hours a day at Boeing. Shame on you for not finding out what a Boeing firefighter actually does before writing them off as not real firefighters.
Mike in Skagit County, I don't think anyone said that they're not real firefighters. I think that we, and I will say mistakenly, said that they have different responsibilities. And I think immediately we got on and said, you know what? There are other people who are saying, yeah, they have a lot more responsibility.
Now, are you changing your opinion?
I say shoot for the moon and hope that you get close. Do they deserve a 50% pay raise? I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out. How's that?
Okay. That's an Ursula answer. Scenarios.
Hey, you know what? What? I am perfectly okay saying, I think we maybe didn't give him enough credit.
That's fair. Before we get to Words to Live By, I just want to just say, Connie in Tacoma wanted us to talk about the rap beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar, and I just want to say,
talking about that all weekend.
I just want to say, there was no way to do that and bring this on this show, but man, I wanted to talk about it. All right, Ursula, Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms. What you got?
This is actually a quote from Meryl Streep, who says, the great gift of human beings is that we have the power of empathy. We can all sense a mysterious connection to each other. A lot of people are going through very tough times, and my heart goes out to you. I love that we get a chance to do this show every single day. It is a blessing and an honor. And I'm just glad to have this opportunity. And I'm glad that we get to interact with all of you who sometimes will correct us when we're wrong.
I ain't never wrong.
Maybe in your world.
Nick, what you got?
Well, finally, we just caught the zebra running in the wild, but it took the effort from a village like we raised a child with a couple days of searching for the stripes of black and white, getting lured in just enough with food and treats to stop the fight. But if holding out some lump of cash instead you found by luck, you'll be sure to see the zebra grab the stash and dodge the truck. And there is no guarantee the zebra gives the money back. He might spend the extra dough buying some, I don't know, cheetah-printed slacks, because he might be related to G with his sense of style, if you know what I'm saying.
G's still arguing. Bellevue has more culture than Edmonds. I would say, you know what? They both have their unique things about them.
That's fair. But what Edmonds doesn't have is more diversity than Bellevue. That's all. I love Edmonds.
How do you define diversity?
I mean...
I think there are a lot of similarities in that sense, Edmonds and Bellevue.
You know, I'm just looking...
Hey, there's a little more pepper in the salt shaker.
Chef, I'm just... There's just some topics.
I think we need to get out of the show before we get into trouble. There's just some topics that need to end.
Thanks, Ursula.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Nick. Hey, everybody. The Jack and Spike show comes up next. Make sure you stick around, and we will be around tomorrow, of course. Hey, this weather's getting purdy out there. It's going to be nice, and you know we're going to be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Ursula, what you going to do? What you going to do?
Enjoy the weather.
Yeah?
Yep. And it's supposed to be nice, really nice, 81 degrees on Saturday.
Out of everybody on the show, nobody goes out more than Ursula. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And as always, be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody. Baby, don't ride that crazy horse.